Well, on Monday, we observe Memorial Day. It's a day for remembering and honoring those who have served our country so well and given their lives. The roots of Memorial Day go all the way back to the Civil War, and it was John A. Logan, a former federal general, who called for the first formal remembrance on May the 30th, 1868. School children were asked to spread flower petals upon the graves of the war dead. And since that time, the date has been changed to the last Monday in May as a day of remembrance for all of those who died in service to America. And perhaps the words of Jesus in John's Gospel captured the spirit and intent of Memorial Day best when he said, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for his or her friends." We are called to remember with compassion and gratitude those who have served our country and given their lives. And as a kid, my family expanded the meaning of Memorial Day a bit, remembering those in our family who had died. And we went to every cemetery where a family member was buried and left flowers. Maybe you had a similar kind of ritual in your family. There were at least four or five cemeteries that we went to. They covered two states and three counties. And it was a very, very long day, especially for a young one. So it became our family ritual on Memorial Day. And though I guess I was a bit bored with it at the time, I came to appreciate their thoughtfulness and remembrance later in life. And speaking of remembering on this Memorial Day weekend, let us remember the black men and women who tragically lost their lives to the unnecessary use of police force during the past year. Let us remember the Asian Americans who lost their lives due to hate crimes in the last year. And the shooting victims, the tragic victims across our country, another one just yesterday, another one the day before that, in a scenario that has become all too frequent. And let us remember the nearly 2 million people worldwide who have lost their lives to COVID. Let us not forget. But getting personal for a moment, think about your legacy. What will your legacy be? Have you ever thought about that? How will you be remembered? By your friends and folks that are sitting right next to you today. What service will you have rendered to others, to the country, to the community, and to this church? So by remembering, we may be able to make better, more conscious choices about how we live our lives today and every day going forward. And the Bible has many examples of this heroic and selfless service. You heard about some of them in the scripture readings today. For the Bible is filled with stories and legacies of lives lived for God and for God's people. Perhaps one of the best known legacies is that of Moses. 120 years, and he still had keen eyesight and he still had his strength. He was a great patriarch and leader of the Jewish people. And his accomplishments are legendary. You've probably learned about him in Sunday school. Things such as freeing the people from captivity under Pharaoh, commanding the Red Sea to part as the people fled, and leading the Jewish people through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, to mention just a few. And at the end of his life, he could look back over his 12 decades and remember how God helped him lead the Israelites out of slavery, through the wilderness, and how he taught them the law as a way that leads to life and holiness and faith handed on for future generations. Moses never stopped. There was no such thing as retirement in those days. He was always on a quest and on a journey to his final day. His life had a mission and a purpose. And some people might say that it was unfair that Moses never got to cross over and enter the promised land. But I don't think he minded. In Deuteronomy 34, God says to Moses, "I will give the promised land to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." And so Moses, after leading the children of Israel for 80 years, did not have the pleasure and the joy of entering the promised land and seeing the fruits of his labor. But look at what happens. Moses died, but his vision survived. Joshua grabbed on to the legacy of Moses and guided the Israelites into the promised land, where a new nation was born. None of us will likely have our names written in the history books for future generations to read. But it is more important to have our names written large in God's book of life, so that in the words of that great old Southern hymn, and don't laugh when I tell you the name, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Have any of you heard of it? All right. I won't sing it for you now, but maybe one of these days we'll sing it and play it. We used to sing that in one of my churches, which was kind of borderline south in western Virginia and bordering on Tennessee. But like Moses, you'll be remembered by those whose lives you have touched. I think that's what it's all about when it comes down to it, providing a place and a faith to hand on to the next generation. Sometimes I think about it, I wonder, the next generation, they'll be sitting here where you are and in the sanctuary, and who it'll be, hopefully some of your children and grandchildren. But without the love and the care and dedication of all of those who went before us here, and without the Lord's help, I don't know what it's been. Over 50 years, though, hasn't it? Certainly 50 years and counting. But without their love and care and Christian faith, we might not be sitting here today, or at least it would look very different than what we enjoy right now. And so we can prepare the road for tomorrow out of gratitude and thanksgiving for what others have done before us. Keep the dream alive so that those who have gone before us will not have worked and lived in vain all the money that they have given to carry the church along, the countless hours of volunteer time to make it possible that we can be here and enjoy this worship right now. Let us not forget. Our New Testament lesson today also describes a remarkable legacy of love. The woman in Matthew's Gospel, Mary of Bethany, she touched Jesus in a manner that even he would never forget. and her life would never be the same as a result. And Jesus was so captivated by her sacrifice that he proclaimed that what she did would become a memorial to her, a memorial. And in one act, she demonstrated what her life was all about. Let's listen to her story again. Now, while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, and she poured it over his head as he sat at the table. But even his disciples, when they saw it, they were angry and they said, "Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum of money and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why, oh, why do you trouble this woman? For she has provided a good service for me. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. And by pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." There's that word again, remembrance. Memorial. Wherever this good news is proclaimed in the world again, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. I would say that's quite a memorial and a legacy to leave. All because she loved lavishly, without reservation, without second thoughts, out of deep love and gratitude for Jesus having raised her brother Lazarus. Think of the joy she must have felt. No wonder she was lavish in her love and devotion. She anoints Jesus with the most costly ointment that amounted to more than a year's wages. There it was. And she left her own memorial and legacy through her great love. Oh, if we could only say the same thing about our lives. Some would say her act was spontaneous, impulsive, even wasteful. But I understand that kind of heartfelt, emotional response in the moment. I can relate, and I'm betting you can too. A number of years ago, our family visited Washington, D.C., and it was about this time of year we visited the Vietnam Memorial for the first time. How many of you have been there? Oh, quite a few of you. And as you can appreciate, that experience is overwhelming, especially it was for me the first time. Nothing can prepare you for that surge of emotions that you feel when you walk along the wall and view the thousands of names. But what struck me most, and it reminded me of Mary of Bethany in today's story, what struck me was the impromptu response of items that people left and littered along the base of the wall. So many things like flowers, jewelry, pictures, signs, coins, scarves, you name it. People responded spontaneously and lavishly in the face of this overwhelming memorial, just like the woman, I thought, who anointed Jesus. And there the people were at the wall of the Vietnam Memorial with raw emotion expressed at the sight. Many were crying. Some were down on their knees. There were carbon rubbings I saw people doing of the etched stone, the name, so they could take something home with them. Perhaps they were viewing the name of a son or a daughter or a husband or wife that they remembered, each one precious in God's sight and remembered by somebody, by a loved one. And I had a similar experience when visiting the Korean War Memorial nearby. My own father was a Marine and he served in the Korean conflict. And so when I stood there and gazed at those soldiers at the Korean Memorial, it hit home to me in a very personal way, and I felt a wave of emotion as I remembered my father and gave thanks for his life and service as a Marine. It's not just about history, it's about a living legacy. So how will you remember those who have sacrificed their lives? And on another level, a more personal level, how will people remember you? The Bible puts a great deal of significance on remembering our ancestors in the faith and honoring them with a spirit of deep, deep appreciation and love. Remembering the great heroes of faith is a very important principle in the Bible. Remembering from Moses to Sarah to Abraham to Mary and Joseph, Mary of Bethany, it's a very long, long sacred list. They left their own legacies of love, and you can too. What would people say about your service to others? Or your service, your volunteer time to the church right now? What will people say about you when you're gone? What will they write about you in a journal or email or talk around the dinner table? Finally, we have the opportunity to create memories for the future right now. We create memories whether we realize it or not, and those memories are the bridge to the future. Let's not forget. Let's not forget our loved ones, our veterans, our parents, our aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and nephews, our neighbors and our friends and those sitting right next to you right now. I've always remembered the words that my high school English teacher wrote in my yearbook. That was 1972. And so I guess you could say it left a lasting impression. But she was quoting directly from the book Markings, and it's the centering thought today in the program, written by the former Secretary General to the United Nations, Dag Hammarskjöld. And he wrote, "Only that can really be yours which is another's. For only what you have given, be it only in the gratitude of acceptance, is salvaged from what one day will have been your life." Whether it's Moses or Mary or a military veteran or our own precious stories about loved ones, it's important to remember. And when it comes to serving God, nothing you do for God is ever wasted. No act of kindness is ever forgotten. God never forgets, and neither should we. So let's be intentional about creating our own legacies of love and service to God, to our church, to our community, to our families, and to our country. As the prophet Isaiah reminds, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. And that's something worth remembering. Amen.